Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barrichini, and Alex Hopton.
Well, boys, right in the heart of it, welcome to episode 152 of Sticks in the Six. The trade deadline is upon us. It is heating up just days out from the actual deadline itself, but we are here, Sticks in the Six. Welcome, brought to you by Indy Ale House, the Hockey Podcast Network, and DraftKings. Boys, we'll get into all the hockey talk in the next little bit here, but we do have a guest joining us as well, Haynes Evans, former writer of the Hockey Writers, now with Inside the Rink. But Alex, before we get into all that, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. It's been a pretty crazy day for sure with all the trades. I somehow picked the perfect window to lay down for a nap today. I was debating on doing that at some point early afternoon. And then right when I was laying down, I saw the Tarasenko trade broke, and then the Henrique trade broke. And then, you know, everything just kept flying out and shit just kept happening. So I ended up staying up and getting a little window in from like 4:30 until 5:30. So if it's you got to be careful taking naps during the day around this time of year, but it's exciting and I wouldn't have it any other way. Also, I'm very stoked to find out that Wayne Simmonds is going to be on Trade Center on Friday. That's going to be some fun.
Oh, let's go.
Joe, do you not know about that? Did I just break some news?
You just broke some news to
Simmonds going to be on there. Anyways. Now it's worth watching.
Hell yeah. Call me Alex Friedman for the day.
There you go. Peter, buddy, how you doing?
Try to keep up with all these damn trades coming on, like Hanifin to Vegas right now. Like, holy, like, what was the last time that we had something like this happen? I think this is bigger, Forbes, than we did the Taylor Hall trade.
Midnight? We were sitting there at midnight on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
the good old days of the pod.
The good old days of the pod, the late nights and the late night talks. That was amazing. Yeah, I'm doing good. Again, with all the trades happening right now, I mean, Alex Broke Simmer being on the TSN panel, which is absolutely phenomenal. But all these trades are happening like a day or two. I feel bad for Duthie trying to like scramble for ideas to try and kill time until something actually happens. Cause we all know how crazy you could get on the TSN panel or even in that studio during trade deadline.
Well, we all know they'll make some other silly commercial like they have in years past, but a good way for Simmer to get heated up to come on Sticks in the Six eventually is stop by Trade Center first and get his wheels underneath him, and then he can jump on here with us at some point, boys. But yeah, it's been a fun week. As you guys know, we're just days out from the actual trade deadline. A lot of trade talk. This seems to be the yearly thing where teams start to get hustling a little early on before the actual deadline, but there's been some big moves. We'll get into that in a little bit. Before we do, though, I want to welcome Haynes Evans to the show. Haynes, former writer at the Hockey Writers, now with Inside the Rink, also has part of two podcasts, if I'm correct there, Haynes.
Yes.
There you go. So he's coming to us from South Carolina. You know, happy to have you on, Haynes. You kind of jumped in on last episode, and we figured what better way than to get you on here this week and talk a little Yotes and talk a little trade deadline. So how you doing, Haynes?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's cool to to see the show as a spectator and a commentator, and it's now even more fun. I can see why you guys do it, to be on the actual podcast talking with y'all. So appreciate y'all inviting me here from the always hockey big state, South Carolina.
There you go. Yeah, no, we're definitely happy to get you on. We just kicked off the episode, so we're going to get into a little trade talk. You're more than welcome to join us for the entirety of the episode. We're going to try and make it a quick one tonight, as our boys are kicking. Our puck drop is in, 3 minutes here? So we'll be, we got a little Leaf hockey going tonight. So, as we get going here, lots of big trades. Tarasenko to Florida, Walker to Colorado, obviously Mittelstadt and Byram. Straight one-for-one swap, Buffalo and Colorado. And then, of course, the Sealer extension, which cuts that off from the Leafs as well. Haynes, we're going to throw it to you first, buddy. What's been the biggest move for you so far? Is this just the beginning for us?
The biggest move I've seen today, in my opinion, has to be the Mittelstadt for Byram trade. I think that's such a big one, because you're looking at two guys who are – not even in the primes of their careers, and they've both been such impactful players. And, you know, you look at Byram's situation in Colorado, and he's been such a prevalent top four defenseman at such a young age. He's really kind of burst on the scene, kind of similar to what Makar did when he came to Colorado. So you take that, and then you look at Casey Mittelstadt, who, I mean, is just only impressed year after year in Buffalo. As that team has gotten better and they start to find their groove and their niches and what's worked and all that, Mittelstadt's really been one of those guys that seemed to grow with the team. So I think you're getting a fair trade here. As you know, honestly, Johansson is also into the Philadelphia trade. He's getting bought out and all that. So it clears the space up for Mittelstadt here. I think it's a big trade. I mean, honestly, we're still, you know, a couple days, 2 days away from trade deadline. So, you know, we still have a lot to see coming up here and what we're going to see as in this week comes out. But, yeah, I mean, I would think that was the biggest one. I mean, a lot of trades going back and forth, a lot of picks swap, not a lot of players going back and forth in trade. So it was good to see a refreshing trade here with just a one-for-one here between these two guys.
Yeah, the old the PK Subban one-for-one. Weber.
Good old Jones for the Ryan Johansson one.
The Taylor Hall and Larson trade.
And then both of those moves were immediately followed by Stamkos re-signing in Tampa Bay, which just broke my heart.
Broke every Leaf fan's heart. I think we were all hoping he was coming this way, but definitely that's got to be one of the biggest trades thus far. Obviously, Mittelstadt. I think he was kind of being played out of where. Like what position he should have been with Buffalo. I think fitting in nicely with Colorado, being that third line center role, give him a little less excitement against the opposing top lines. So it'll work out well for him. I think he needed a change of scenery, and certainly Bo Byron going the other way is going to be something. What a decor they've got going in Buffalo right now. It's going to be so fun to watch that team get so much better. Hopefully some young goaltenders. They've got a lot of exciting times ahead of them, but Peter, your thoughts so far on the trades, anyone that sticks out to you that, you're kind of looking at as maybe potentially one of the bigger deals this deadline?
Yeah. I mean, I think the big one, I mean, obviously the Byron and Mittelstadt one, like that one for one swap, that is huge. And not only that, you know, Buffalo does need help on the right-hand side. You know, you already have that tower defense with, you know, both, Dahlin and Power. You actually have a right-hand shot this time to help complement that. And he's always had two-way potential, you know, great offense, great defense. Injuries have derailed his career. I think that this fresh start is going to help him out, but you know, getting Mittelstadt and Sean Walker as well for Colorado, that's just absolutely huge, because now you get, you know, a top six forward, you get a top four defenseman. I still think that price for Walker is a little bit steep for a first, but when you look at the transitional stats, I mean, it just pops off right then and there. As for future moves, like it's interesting to see how it's going to unfold. Obviously, you know, we would like Toronto to keep up with some of the competition going on. We saw what Florida did, bringing in Tarasenko, making them a little bit deeper. You know, Boston's not going to go quiet. You know, Tampa Bay is going to try and make something despite giving up like five or six picks last year for Tanner Jeannot. You're seeing like a lot of movement and impact in the Pacific and out West. I think right now the Atlantic, because that's the, you know, that it's going to be a dogfight the rest of this way through the last like 25% of the season during the stretch. You're going to look at all four teams. I mean, I would hope Toronto would get involved too, but Boston's going to be in it. Tampa Bay is going to be in it. Florida is still going to continue to be in it. So we'll see what's going to happen there between those four teams, because it's just neck and neck at this point.
Yeah, Alex, I'm going to get your take as well before I have my say, but your thoughts on what's been the biggest move thus far?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I can really answer with anything else in full honesty than the Byram deal. I mean, I think everyone kind of knew that there was a possibility of that after the Walker deal was completed, but to see it go down that quickly and to see Mittelstadt on the way and to see two teams just kind of solve their primary need in the span of one trade involving a couple of young players, you don't see a trade like that too often. So I think that, honestly, that trade for Colorado, I really, really like it for this year because they needed that second line center and they obviously replaced Byram's production with Sean Walker. So they shored up their defense and their offense all in one kind of call. That being said, I would say that long term, I wouldn't be shocked to see a scenario where the Sabres just wipe the floor with the Avalanche in this trade. Bowen Byram, I think a lot of people forget how young he is and how much potential he still has. And, you know, when you look back into the 2019 draft or whenever it was when they picked him, Colorado having the fourth overall pick that year was a complete outlier. They didn't have the pick because they had a bad year. They had a pick because Ottawa's GM is stupid. So, like, they weren't really in a position. They've been a good team this entire time. They weren't really in a position to develop Bowen Byram and you know, accommodate for him and accommodate for, you know, this guy being able to... Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
What's going on, boy? Join the party, man.
We're looking to set a record for the most populous podcast imaginable. I just think that with the Leafs or with the Leafs with Bowen Byram's situation in Colorado, they've been going for the past couple of years. They had a couple cup final runs, one cup win, and you know they're not really in a position where they can focus on Bowen Byram's development and give him the ice time that he needs. Buffalo is on the other hand, and you know, you add him into a pool that has Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, and Matias Samuelsson already. That is a filthy looking defensive core. So 22 or not 22 years old, a little older than that, 23, I think, but either way, this guy's, he's a pretty young player. He's got a lot of upside. So it's going to be interesting to see if maybe we can finally get a rejuvenation in the battle of the QEW.
Yeah, I mean, it's safe to say, like, right now, from a Leafs standpoint, the biggest move has got to be the Tarasenko move to Florida. I mean, you look at it, Florida is now the favorite to win the Stanley Cup in any betting site, including DraftKings down below there. Code THPN, we'll get to that in a little bit there for you, Kyle. No, definitely, it's got to be the biggest move right now from a Leafs standpoint. And you know, Peter, I've seen you on Twitter. I've seen Alex, you on Twitter, saying that you know the Leafs and Brad Treliving have to get something going soon, because regardless of who you're playing Boston, you're playing the Rangers, or you're playing Florida in that first round, depending on where you finish. And any way you look at it, all these teams are getting involved early, and it's going to be a tough go for this Leafs squad, regardless of who you play at this point. Especially if Peter mentioned before we even kicked off the show that you know, Kevin Weeks shot out the idea of, you know, Jake Guentzel possibly going to Vancouver in a three-way deal with DeBrusque going to Pittsburgh, and I forget the third piece, Lindholm
going to Boston.
So yeah, that would be
insane.
That would blow things up a little bit in the Atlantic. But yeah, Kyle, I mean, your Flames got involved early with dealing Lindholm to Vancouver. He might be on the move again. What's your take from a Calgary standpoint?
Well, so what's breaking right now with Noah Hanifin going to Vegas, right? But we talked about it last night with Lindholm, and like, I think for me, like, there's just a lot of pieces that need to take place, right? So we were like, maybe it's like on a scale of 1 to 10 on our odds of thinking it happening. Like, I kind of said like a 5 or a 6. There just seems like there's too many pieces that kind of need to be involved for that to happen, right? And I mean, heck, like, Peter, we were live a couple nights ago mentioning, especially when it comes to the Leafs, like, you know, now with all these, like, now the dominoes are starting to fall.
Yeah.
You're running out of time, right? And that's the problem. So, you know, who's left on the trade bait board now outside of, you know, Hanifin now being gone? We're starting to get an idea of what the return will be in a moment here. You know, with Henrik now being gone, you got now Jake McCabe, who I just saw like half an hour ago, I guess, is out of the lineup tonight for you guys.
Yeah,
you got
McCabe and Holmberg both out due to another flu bug going around hitting the Maple Leafs right now. So, Lagesson and
right.
Ryan, it's the trade flu bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. It's been going around crazy, like especially kind of went out west and came over and out of the east with the flu bug. But yeah, I'm willing to break. I really want to try and see what the return is for Noah Hanifin here, right? And maybe that gives you an idea of what Brad Treliving needs to do over the next 48 hours, right? Because clock's ticking.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And quick note on Vegas as well. This is from Steve Dangle on Twitter. According to Cap Friendly, Vegas has about $4.4 million in deadline cap space. Maybe more importantly, over the next three drafts, Vegas have all of their firsts, two of their seconds, and three of their thirds. So obviously,
it's all
some of that. Some
not,
of that,
not for long, but
yeah, yeah. Some of that's going to be involved in that. But I mean, to be able to build the squad that they've put together in the last few years and really since they've come into the league and still have those kind of assets to show for it is pretty crazy. And it really kind of ties into this idea of, like, I'm going to say the Toronto tax, but really any team that kind of is like among the most hated in the league. And we'll get to that in a little bit here, but you know, it does play a role in that. And Haynes, I'm going to throw it to you real quick, cause we don't get to see a lot of the Coyotes, you know, being in Toronto, obviously twice in the last month or so. A little bit of a rivalry building with Sean Durzi and William Nylander, and then of course, you know, Revo getting into it with O'Brien there. But I want to get your thoughts from an outside standpoint, from an outside market, a team that doesn't see the Leafs very often. What's this team missing?
You know, everybody wants to look at Toronto, and the first thing they want to think of is, you know, they have the big four. What do they have outside the big four? And that's the joke that everybody's been playing. That's the joke I know y'all hear. It's old. It's almost as old as hearing the Coyote relocation jokes and all that. It's something that immediately everybody's going to go to. They're going to hear Leafs. They're going to go, why have this team not won? And it's because they're paying Tavares, Marner, Matthews, and Nylander all too much money. And that's not the case. And I mean, are they paying them all a substantially large sum of the four combined together? Yes, they are paying them a very large sum of money for the four of them together. But I think what Toronto lacks the most, and especially come playoff time, is I think they want to rely so much on their top lines. And if they're not doing anything, it's almost like the rest of their team doesn't know how to pick up what the top line's not doing. And I think that's something for Toronto they have to focus on. I mean, you just shored up on your blue line getting Ilya Lyubushkin, former Coyote, back in Toronto. And, you know, goaltending, also, you've had some issues with Samsonov this year, but he's looked good. Joseph Woll, obviously, is a stud in the making down there. And, you know, he's impressed a ton this year. I think for the Maple Leafs, you really have to shore up bottom six scoring, just because you can't go into the playoffs again. You can't have this hype, you know, say you win that first round like you did Toronto last year. You can't have that hot bubble and then hit that second round and the first two lines just decide to take a rest. You have to, every guy on the ice, whether you're making $11 million or making $775,000, everybody needs to be held accountable. So I think for the Maple Leafs, it's finding guys on those bottom lines who aren't just your bump and grind players, guys who can make a difference. I mean, the league nowadays is, you don't win off of two lines anymore in this league nowadays. You win off of having four solid lines. So I think that's the biggest thing for Toronto, is just shoring up that bottom six in addition to what they already have, and then just everybody firing on all cylinders in the playoffs.
Contract extension in the works for Hanifin with Vegas.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's crazy about that is the link between Tampa and Calgary for the longest time, and Vegas just swooped right in, right?
So they did that with Mark Stone too. They did that with a lot of players.
And what's happening is that all of a sudden they have so much, like, because of that.
Oh, wait. Update Freeman, no extension. So Trigger said one thing, Freeman is saying another.
It's going to be an interesting few years in Vegas here in the next few years when they're really compressed to the cap and a lot of aging players. It'll be fun to see what that happens and looks like.
Well, the interesting thing now with Vegas is that Mark Stone, who is questionable for the playoffs, if he comes back and you add Mantha and now
there's another repeat.
If he comes back, I think it's over.
Yeah.
I think it's more when he comes back in the playoffs.
What round of the playoffs does he come back in, and what game is it that they really need him to show up in?
That's right. The second they lose their first playoff game, you'll see Mark Stone in the following contest. I can almost guarantee it.
He's going to be – they're going to do what the Leafs did to Matt Murray at the start of the year when they were doing the player introductions, and they're going to have Mark Stone with like a with like an arm brace on. Like, ow, I'm so hurt.
They just rip it off and then come back.
Yeah, and then he'll be looking. Oh,
next game, he like burst out of the tunnel with nothing on, just all dressed, ready to go and play. Yeah, I can see it.
We got something from Kevin Weeks here in that three-way deal you guys were talking about. So if the scenario does take place, it would involve Vancouver, Pittsburgh, and the Bruins. In that Gensel would go to Vancouver, DeBrusque would go to Pittsburgh, and Lindholm would be sent to Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be. I mean, that's something to watch for. You know, Weeksy's usually pretty on top of this stuff. But Haynes, I want to throw you another quick one as well. Obviously, at the All-Star game, you know, Matthews and Keller looked really good together, and cap wise, they wouldn't be able to make it work. But what do you need from the Leafs to get Keller over to Toronto?
I mean, I think Keller's the only guy on the team that I think the return is ridiculous. I couldn't even begin to imagine what a return for a guy like Clayton Keller comes out to. I mean, this is a guy last year who 86 points. I mean, it could very well, you know, this season top that number. And, I mean, he's only getting better, and he's only gotten better since Andre Tournier's come into the system and he's taken over in there. So, I mean, the return would be wild. I mean, don't get me wrong there. I mean, I think to compensate, we just get Matthews back. I think this Keller Matthews one for one. I think Matthews just comes home to where he wants to be. You guys can have Keller. It would hurt. Trust me. It would sting my heart to see Keller go. But I mean, I think you throw Matthews in there just to sweeten it, just a little, and then maybe throwing a first our side. I think
it would make the blow a little softer, right?
Make the blow a little softer.
You're putting together a legendary pitch for Clayton Keller.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, on NHL 24, I am the most aggressive GM on my creative franchise team. I don't take no for answers. I will, on easy mode or hard mode? Oh, I'm on hard mode. I'm pumping out the trades and then sending them to my brother saying, this is the recap of today's trade deadline. And it's just like, picture. I'm like, I retained this much for that pick, and this guy's going there for this, and he's just like, you're too in depth with this. I'm like, look, man, if you want to win a Stanley Cup, you got to be a logistical GM. You got to think these things out.
Would Matthews waive his no move clause?
Not now. No. In the situation Arizona's in, and the arena drama, and all that. No.
He's looking to join Legends Row right now outside of Scotiabank.
Oh arena. God, yeah.
I think in 4 years when that contract comes to an end, if the Coyotes get all this together in the season, they announce, hey, we placed an auction, we won this auction, we bought this land, the arena's going on this land. If they announce this by the end of the season, and we are not talking about another relocation situation, we're talking about Coyotes finally have figured this out, and the Coyotes start to really get this going as they are with all these young prospects coming in 4 years, yeah, I could see, maybe depending on the situation, and I could see Matthews entertain the idea of going back home. I mean, he credits getting into hockey because of the Coyotes, and I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think if he can go out and at least get a cup win in Toronto, I think he could happily get something done there, win it big in Toronto, and then by the end of that 4 years saying, you know, I'm going to take it to Arizona, I'm going to play in Arizona.
That's going to line up perfectly with Connor McDavid coming home.
So. There you go. That's perfect. So we lose one franchise for another.
That's going to be a wild free agency day. I can just see that now. the two
headliners. Let me ask you guys this. Speaking like outside of the box here before Friday's deadline, I've heard Parayko's name come up a little bit. Is there any of the names that you can think of that Toronto needs to go after that's maybe not on the trade board?
So I'm only going to say he's not on the trade board because I think Seattle has been pretty clear about not wanting to trade their defensemen, but I can't think, if not Parayko, I can't think of a better fit than Adam Larson. Mm-hmm. And that's if not Adam Larson, Will Borgen. I'd honestly take either of those players. I think that when you look back to the move that the Leafs made back in 2019 to pick up Jake Muzzin, I think
Jake McCabe.
Yeah. I think that Adam Larson fits the bill for what those two guys brought perfectly. And I mean, you're looking at a guy who's right-handed, who's defensive, who can play alongside Riley on the top pair. Honestly, if you look back at the amount of D partners that Morgan Riley's had since he's been on the Leafs, it is a tough scene. Like, I think the only one that's really worked out has been TJ Brody, and that's the shelf life on that has expired coming into this year. So honestly, I think I think Adam Larson would be the perfect trade target. I don't know. I think Brad Treliving would have to blow Ron Francis's socks off to make that happen. But Either way, well, a man can be delusional.
He's done that with Tkachuk.
Also,
bit of breaking news from Darren Dreger that the trade with Hanifin to Vegas actually isn't complete yet because they're working on salary retention.
So who's that third team?
I mean, they got enough space anyways with Stone on the shelf.
You would think. So it depends how much they want to retain. But anyway, trade not complete as of right yet. They're getting there, but it's just coming down to salary retention.
I was going to say, too, another guy that I'd keep an eye on is Matt Roy in L.A. I know L.A. is kind of in a spot right now that they don't want to move a lot of pieces. But, you know, he's a guy that fits into that maybe top – that second pairing that, you know, can really add an aggressive defensive defenseman and you know, give the Leafs a little bit more stability in that sense. He's a name that hasn't been thrown around too much. I've seen it floated around a few times, but – yeah. Definitely a name that, I mean, I brought up weeks ago that I thought was a target that the Leafs could go after for sure, especially because they did have scouts at some Kings games earlier in the year.
And what's his cap?
Toronto.
I want to say he's around four.
I think he's around three.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. I could pull up LA if I could find LA. That's the main thing.
Jeez.
3.15,
yeah.
So that is a manageable contract to bring in, and then if you could re-sign him in the process, that'll be absolutely huge.
Yeah,
totally.
I would, before we were like at the end of Matt Roy there, I think one name that I was looking at too, but the Maple Leafs have called, but nothing substantiated as a result of that. It's just a rumor. Bit like, I know they need a right hand shot, but Nick Jansen from the Washington Capitals, I've heard that his name has kind of been sort of floated around there, but I don't know if it's going to substantiate to anything. And considering where the Maple Leafs are with, you know, Mark Giordano and TJ Brody not looking like themselves, we know Gio's probably going to move on at the end. Possibly, you know, especially after this head injury, he is back on the ice, which is good news, but you know, he's 40 years old, not getting any younger. TJ Brody, not as consistent. At least Nick Jansen has been consistent over the past few seasons as that TJ Brody type player that you could just get to and maybe come in at a cheaper cap hit as a result of that. So that was one name, but I don't know if it's going to amount to anything.
Well, because we brought you guys on here, we're going to talk a little Leaf hockey anyways and force your arms a little bit to talk about our blue and white. But before we do, obviously, as I mentioned, the Florida Panthers are now paying +600 at DraftKings to win the Stanley Cup. Doesn't make my futures on Carolina look very good, but we all know Carolina likes to stand pat at the deadline. So if you want to take a futures out, why not look at Florida for +600? And with that, quick word from our sponsors over at DraftKings Sportsbook. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. As I mentioned, +600 for Florida on a futures bet. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. As well, we had a little comment. You guys who were on the show last week, we saw Bubba Jameson comment, where are the drinks? Well, I do have one from Indie L House here called Love Triangle. That could be what's happening with that three-way deal with the with the folks in Pittsburgh and Boston. We don't know. We'll find out. But
we are
partying tonight, boys.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
Big water party tonight.
Yeah. Big water party.
Black I'm doing a sober like month of March, so this isn't a good time to ask, Bubba. But
what do you got there, Haynes? Sorry,
I got it. No, you're good. I got an Original Sin Black Widow cider. It's a blackberry cider. Ooh, I'm a cider sour kind of fan, and I stupidly went through all my sours too quickly. in a rage filled NHL 24 night. So I'm on the sours. I'm on the cider right now.
Hey, trades didn't go your way that night, eh?
I tried pulling off a one for one, a first rounder for Matthews. They said no. I wasn't too thrilled about that. Did they give us five?
Did they give you that auto response where it was like, you have to be, you? That is borderline insulting that you would think that that would be. Yeah. That would be
I got a direct text from the GM of Toronto. They're like, how dare you send me that?
Yeah. Haynes is not going to be welcome at any Boston Pizza locations in Canada just for that offer.
I was just there like 10 minutes ago.
All right, boys. Well, the Leafs did get one trade done, and as Haynes mentioned early on, they got Ilya Lyubushkin back. Quite a polarizing move. If you looked at any Leafs social media, there was some fans who loved getting Bush back. There were some fans that were, what the hell are we doing here? But let's get your take first, Alex. Ilya Lyubushkin's back. They shore up some physicality on that back end, and maybe not the move that you were looking for.
I mean, first and foremost, only in Toronto is trading a couple of mid-round picks for Ilya Lyubushkin a polarizing move for anybody.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, okay. So I think that the trade was fine. I think if you looked at the circumstances and the fact that Mitch Marner was playing defense the night before, because they made the trade after the game, but it was a move that had to be made. The Leafs decor was in shambles, both between injuries and just other things happening. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're playing Mitch Marner, your top right winger, on the top pairing. That's just not a situation you ever want to find yourselves in, especially not at this time of year. So, I mean, I think that was fine. I have no problems with the move. And I think that on top of that, we saw how good Morgan Rielly was in the playoffs last year with Luke Shen on his side. I think ultimately, I talked a little earlier about how bad his defensive pairings have generally been since he's been in Toronto. Luke Shen was the best that he's had, and you saw it in how he played in the first round last year and the second round. So I think that ultimately just getting a guy who's right-handed and can play a stable game and take some pressure off of Rielly to play in his own zone and kind of let him play the game he's comfortable with, I think it was worth it for that alone. Now, I did say that I was cool with the trade provided they went and got somebody else. And just based on the flurry that happened today, I don't know what the odds of that are. That being said, I also didn't really see a situation where the Leafs were going to be the ones to get Noah Hanifin or the ones to get Sean Walker. Even I think, you know, if you're using your first round pick on someone, it better be for somebody like Parayko or Larson, not for Sean Walker, with all due respect to him. I don't know. I'm fine with the move. I think that, you know, a lot of people were scared off because they saw the Jay Fresh charts and how bad he was in Anaheim. And, you know, obviously the rebuttal to that was that Simone Benoit also had terrible numbers in Anaheim. And look what happens when he's not relied on for top 4 minutes and he's playing a role that he can be comfortable in and not have to be relied on for too much. So I think the Lyubushkin move is fine. I would still like to see the Leafs trade for somebody else, but I mean, I think that in terms of that trade, if we're just looking at that one, I don't see an issue with it, and nobody else should. I mean, the guy's he's making what seven? I think it's like $675,000 against the cap or something like that.
League minimum.
Yeah, he's making next to nothing, and it left him room for flexibility for something else. So I don't know. I truthfully don't know what to expect from this trade deadline because we've gotten so used to how Kyle Dubas ran his deadlines and his tendencies and the kind of guys he liked to get. I know Brad Treliving doesn't really have a history of being active at the trade deadline outside of a couple depth moves, but I also think the circumstances right now are different because he's in Toronto and the pressure on the Leafs to do anything in the playoffs right now is crazy. So I'm just interested to see what happens.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think determining somebody's worth from a team like Anaheim is tough to do, especially with how they've been the last few seasons. So We know what Lyubushkin did when he was in Toronto. Obviously, it was a short stint, and he played fairly well. in the system that he was in. So to get him back, like you said, I think it's, you know, only in Toronto is it a polarizing move for a couple of round picks. But Peter, let's get your take on that trade real quick, and then we'll throw it to the our wonderful guests here as well.
Yeah, I think the big thing was you needed someone on that right side. You're too left side heavy. You know, you want to have that balance. You only have one right shot defenseman, and even then, Timothy Liljegren has not been perfect, or he has not been great this season. I mean, that's basically an understatement. He's had his stretches of good games, but also stretches of bad games. And you need more right shots. That's just the way it is. You can't just have all left shot defensemen. You need that balance. And Labushkin brings that. And I wrote that, you know, he is a good piece, that, you know, he's a missing piece that they needed in this whole entire thing. And, you know, you look at the numbers that he had with Riley when they were paired together back in 2001, 2002. And I believe it was like a 31-game sample size. Numbers were great during the regular season. When you look at, you know, shot attempts, scoring chances, expected goals, they were actually way above average. Playoffs, they were hovering around there as well. So they did some damage. And even right now, in two whole games, big sample size right there, this season, 61% Corsi for, you know, goals again, or goals for, 33, one on, two against, a 5-on-5. Expected goals, 68.26. And scoring chances are 60%. So the underlying numbers are showing that they are doing some damage. You have that balance. You have that shutdown defenseman. You have Riley doing the wheeling and dealing that he could do in the offensive zone, carrying the puck, being that transitional player, and that force from the back end. Now, again, kind of like Alex, this can't be the only move. You need more. You need more depth. I mean, as much as Labushkin and Riley have shown that they can have good chemistry, Labushkin is a very steady third pairing guy. That's just the way it's going to be. You could probably limit the minutes because you have the depth now on your other pairings, where you have McCabe and Benoit when they're healthy, Brody on his left side, Liljegren, and, you know, maybe somebody else is coming in and out of the lineup. Who knows what's going to happen there? But if you have three balanced pairings, you could divvy up that extra ice time where you're not so heavily focused on Riley and Labushkin being the top pair. You have other guys that you could rely on. That's going to be key. And that's why they need to go out and get a Parayko, a Larson if he's available, a Borgan if he's available, or another, any right shot defenseman at this point that's available, or you need to get, go out there and get it, because he needs to make an off the board move to make this team more competitive and more deep.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kyle, I'm going to throw it to you first, because I think it was pretty clear that early on the Leafs were out on Hanifin. There was kind of that note that he wasn't looking to stay north of the border or what have you, and was looking for something more stability, I guess, let's say. Obviously they didn't get in on Zadorov either, but you know, for the Leafs to pull in this depth defenseman, obviously this isn't the only move they're going to make, because they had salary retention involved in the deal. Tree Living's obviously looking to make another deal. You have some experience with Tree Living as the GM. What can Leaf fans expect from this guy at the deadline?
No experience all too well with Brad Tree Living. As there he goes.
Ooh. Hi, Andrew. Well, he did not care what you had to say, Kyle. I'm sorry. That was a charity question. There he is.
There we go. Oh, he wanted to be the center of attention.
Not sure what happened there, boys.
Forbes, you did not care what Kyle had to say there.
I made a little mic drop right at the end of my question. I was like, see you guys later.
See you later, losers.
I'll get my 2 cents, and then I'll let you guys have the floor back, and I'll skedaddle. But had experience with Roger Living all too well, right? And I think there's one thing to know, is that he's not afraid to make a big move, and it's what we saw two summers ago with Tkachuk, right? So, you know, do I think is he going to make that big of a move 2 days, 48 hours from now? Probably not. But what you have to watch is, okay, now that Hanifin's off the board, and we'll see again what the retention is and what the return is. You know, Boston was on it, Tampa was in on it, Florida was still on it. You know, those teams in your division are still in on, they're not done either, right? 48 hours to still go, and, you know, in the deadline, and there's still lots of time to make a move, right? So hearing that these other teams are now still pushing for more pieces because they still think they have, you know, the upper hand within the division, or to try to make a deep run in the East, it's almost like you're basically forcing this team to now make a move, right? So whether it be, you know, like what Peter mentioned there, what you guys have alluded to before with either getting Parayko or Larson or whatever it is, you really have to start thinking outside of the box, because that's what the same things in these teams are going to start doing as well, right? I don't think a lot of us saw Bowen Byram leaving Colorado today and the whole middle staff swap, the one for one, the, you know, with what were some of the other ones I have to say, like when Mantha went to Vegas, right? Too, not a big name, but still a critical piece now to Vegas to try to repeat here. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the next little bit to see if more different names pop up that we just didn't even think of, right? And all of a sudden, they decide to go, and you know, within your division, it just makes it that much more tougher, right? So it doesn't help with Florida already having Tarasenko for you guys, and you know, to try to compete in a potential first round matchup. We'll see how it goes, but yeah, like the, you know, for Bradtree Living, the pressure's never been higher for him right now. I think the last time he's felt this was probably right before trying to re-up Gaudreau and Tkachuk back in Calgary, and look how that went, right? So in terms of his career for Bradtree Living, it's probably the next biggest moment for him, right? Because it didn't go well in Calgary. We saw how it ended up with those two. Now you got to answer the bell here in the next 48 hours because you have to make a move. And if you don't, might be a lot of criticism coming your way.
I just want to say, because this is totally unrelated to anything else we're talking about, but I just want to say that I don't think Bradtree Living is at fault for how that went down. And I think a lot of people give him a lot of unfair heat for that because, you know, Gaudreau, I mean, losing Gaudreau, I mean, he's done nothing in Columbus. I'm sorry. He's been setting cardio records in Columbus. And on the Tkachuk front, I mean, he still managed to pull a guy who won the MVP the Art Ross, the MVP? It was either or. But 115 points, I think he had the year before. He got a top four defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar. He got a first round pick and a pretty solid prospect in Cole Schwintz. I don't think anybody could have forecasted the way that Huberto was going to fall off the face of the earth those first 2 years. And he's starting to get a little better now, as we've seen. So I don't know. I think that Treliving, in terms of the circumstances, made the absolute best of it. I don't know if he could have really forecast the way that all played out. But anyways, I just wanted to get my defense for Brad in there.
And it's tough too for some players, especially in this generation, to play under a guy like Daryl Sutter. And it seems to be that's their go-to when they revisit coaching decisions. They every couple of years they go back to Daryl Sutter and pull him off the farm and say, let's run it back. Yeah, it's tough. You know, credit to Huberto, who has, you know, he hasn't turned it off. He's kind of come back this season and tried to find a little bit more of that groove that he had in Florida prior to the trade. But it's definitely wasn't an easy situation that Bradtree Living was put in.
I'll say my last tidbit and then I'll let you guys go. You know, with what's important for Brad is that, you know, he is a player's guy too. Like, he flew all the way to Montreal and sat down with Huberto and like was there for over a couple of nights trying to sign the extension with him, and it came through, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe this is something more to take note during the offseason and other potentially, you know, big contracts coming up like Marner and Tavares coming down the line, right? Like, he does care about his guys, and you know, he's very dedicated to the organization in order to help to try to get some sort of extension together to stay, right? So he clearly cares, right? And you know, it obviously showed with Huberto. Hasn't gone the right way, of course, but you know, it's just it's a guy who clearly cares about the organization here in Toronto. And again, like, it's a big test for him now in 48 hours to see what he's gonna be able to get.
Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate you joining us.
It's John Kato.
Thank you, I appreciate it. And talk soon, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, Kyle. So, Haynes, you guys had Lyubushkin in Arizona. I mean, obviously, you know, maybe not a guy that's talked about very often, but definitely a guy that can add some flavor to a lineup. And on top of that, here in Toronto, he's good friends with Ilya Samsonov. So with all the mental struggles that Ilya Samsonov had earlier in the year, this definitely can play a part in maybe kind of reeling that in a little bit for the guy. But what's your take on Ilya Lyubushkin from what you've seen?
Yeah, you know, as Tyson Nash cleverly always called him, the aforementioned dancing bear. He was a big thing. I mean, Arizona. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say that, you know, he was, you know, the showstopper. He wasn't out there scoring goals. I think he recorded maybe one in his 2 years in Arizona before he was dealt. But what stood out to me was his play. He gives everything on the ice, which is something that, as a defenseman, you know, a lot of defensemen, you know, give 60-70%. You know, you come in the zone, you play the top of the point, but, you know, you're really not giving it all until you're back on your end covering the puck. So he's a guy that's always given his all. He was a big fan favorite in Arizona because of that. He really pushed the narrative of, you know, he could be something on a bigger team if he was given the chance. And, you know, and like you guys said, he went to Toronto and he shined. I mean, he showed in that short little stint that, you know, he could be an answer. And, you know, as Peter said, it's hard. I mean, for anybody in this situation, I mean, you go to the Anaheims, you go to the San Jose's, you go to the Chicago, your numbers are going to take a hit. It was like that with the Coyotes last two seasons. Your numbers are going to take a hit when you're playing with a team that's not winning many hockey games. And so, you know, that adds into his numbers you saw this year. You see a lot in the red and you think, it wasn't a good sign for Toronto. But you have to take the situation he was in. He was getting asked to do more stuff that he's not particularly ready or really capable of doing. So coming back to Toronto is huge for him. Like Peter also said, I think it gives him that other right-hand defenseman they're looking for, and it really shores up some of that help you need on the right-handed side of the defense. But you need to go out and go after someone, whether that be, you know, whether that be Larson, whether that be Matt Dumba, for example. You got to go out and you got to tackle someone, and you have to bring someone else in, because as Kyle also said, the Atlantic only getting better and teams are only adding at the trade deadline. I mean, Patrick Kane coming to Detroit, Florida for Vladimir Tarasenko. This division's making a lot of moves, and if the Maple Leafs want to stay relevant in it, they have to be able to do it well. But I think who they have in charge is the right guys. I think they had the guys in place that know what needs to be corrected here. And I think they have the ability and the power to change the narrative that Toronto gets casted on.
Well, go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, I am preparing a lifetime supply of copium for Friday when the Leafs don't do anything. Looking back to last year and seeing how Florida didn't do anything at the deadline and they went to the cup final, I'm just going to keep telling myself that.
Hey, yeah, good happen.
Impossible. Just get hot in April, man. That's all you got to do.
That's all you need to do. Play hot hockey. Yeah. That's it.
I will say somebody in the Florida organization must have something on the Ottawa organization, because the trade to get Tarasenko within a divisional trade, nonetheless, was pretty shocking to me. That said, we're not going to get into it, but divisional matchups are key, and any hockey fan can speak to how important it is divisionally to get to a point where you need to be beating the teams inside your division, especially the ones above you in the standings. We saw the Leafs lose to the Boston Bruins, which is we've become accustomed to over the last, number of years, 2014. We won't talk about that. But that being said, the Leafs need to do something. They need to find a way to get some sort of deal done, just a small shakeup. I don't think they need to do too much. Before we close out, though, Haynes, you joined us. Obviously, the people you write for are those that are fans of the Arizona Coyotes. Give us a little rundown on this organization. What are they looking for? What do they need to do? What's the next steps for the Coyotes?
Yeah, you know, first off, to any Coyotes fans that, you know, may have come in here to, I know there's not the greatest tension between both sides here, so I can imagine there's many Coyote fans tuning in, but for the Coyotes fans that listen in, the first and foremost, people have to realize the situation we're in. I mean, We're still in the middle of a rebuild. This is phase two, essentially, of it. And you know, you take away the 14-game losing streak, which honestly, I mean, none of us want to go through. And, you know, you see, like, you see this team start a season, get so hot, and they run like they do, and then they hit this wall, and you think, you know, it's got to be Torini. It's got to be this guy's fault. It's got to be that guy's fault. And I think it's just the culmination of everything. I mean, Ingram was really hot to start the season, and, you know, he kind of came back down to earth. Star players went cold. You know, blame goes to anybody. Arena drama honestly does not help. I mean, these guys also want clarity of their future, and fans want clarity of what is going to happen with this team. So I think that played a big part into it. But I think overall, at the end of the day, the Coyotes have made serious strides compared to the last 2 years. Better record than where they were last year. Point total, they're going to break what they've had the last few seasons. And right now, we might be playing for Macklin Celebrini. So you can't really argue if you're a Coyotes fan. You got some competitive hockey early in the season, and right now you might be competing for a high pick. But for them, we don't have a lot of assets to move here. I mean, you're looking at, top of my head, guys I could see going. I could see Dumba for sure. Jason Zucker's been held out for trade reasons. Nick Bjugstad could be another guy. I've heard Toronto. I've heard another name that could be thrown around out there. Nick Schmaltz has been mentioned a couple times out in trades. And then, like, Karel Vemelka. So I've heard a couple different names get bounced around Arizona. I don't think compared to the last two seasons are really in a fire sell mode. I think they're, you know, trade off your veterans, bring in some younger guys, bring in some picks, and then re-sign some veterans for some good hefty deals during the offseason. So it's kind of where they are. The Coyotes are still in that situation of where, you know, they're only going to start to get better with time, but yeah, they're still a young team. I mean, we have a lot of pieces coming next year. Josh Doan, Shane Aussie is you guys know Shane Doan very well, being with the Maple Leafs now, and Josh being in Arizona, and Connor Geeky and Maverick Lamoureux, and Matthew Vialta has really shined down in Tucson. So for my piece of advice to Coyotes fans is just to breathe. I know that's hard to think. You know, the Coyotes have never had the greatest success in NHL history. I still very covertly remember that Western Conference Finals run against the Kings, who my brother was a Kings fan, and I don't ever get to hear the end of that. It's going to get bad there. Whether it's hopefully in Arizona or if it's not in Arizona, this team has the right core in place. They have the right GM in place with general manager Bill Armstrong. They have the right coaching staff in place. This team is going to get better with time. They really are in a division that they're in. The Central, I mean, just look at the Jets, for example, a team that was supposed to go into fire sale mode in this offseason, and they're first in the Central Division right now. So just keep the faith. That's all I can tell Coyotes fans. Just keep the faith. You're still going to have some good wins, and you're still going to have some tough losing stretches, but hopefully at the end of the day, and for everybody's sake, I know some people don't want it, hopefully the Coyotes are still in the league at the end of this year, and they're still in Arizona, and it's great for the game to have them down there, and hopefully they can get everything rolling. And you know, in 5 or 6 years, we're talking about a team that, you know, could be running the Central Division. So just stay positive.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, it's very easy to rip on a team that, you know, has the relocation issues that the Coyotes have had, you know, that has the financial issues that the Coyotes have had. And, you know, we've all been guilty of, you know, throwing shade at teams like the Coyotes at times. That said, I mean, you wouldn't have Austin Matthews, you wouldn't have Matthew Nyes, you wouldn't have so many players in
Tage Thompson.
Tage Thompson.
Sean Couturier, Chuck brothers.
Yeah, the guys that you know really make up the core of this league now, you wouldn't have all those players without the Coyotes, whether it was, you know, Phoenix, whether it was Arizona, whatever you wanted to call them. It's a team that you need to find a way to make successful. And I think finding that central point where they need to have their arena built is the key to making this team successful in the long run. It's the same as the Ottawa Senators. They're out in Canada. I've been to their arena. There's a car dealership in one corner, a gas station, another, and nothing for, you know, 20 kilometers. Yeah. So if you're going to have a few beers at the game, you're not making it home unless you're Ubering, and people don't want to do that. So I'm finding it's the same type of issue in Arizona. So I think it's just a matter of finding the
stability.
Right,
just need stability.
In the right place. Yeah.
Get the arena situation figured out. That's all fans ask for at this point. Trust me, we don't like hearing jokes as much as people throw them at us. We want clarity as much as anybody else wants clarity. And we want this just to be done with. We want to be here. There is a passionate fan base in Arizona. There's more than 500 fans. I promise y'all, not to you guys, but I promise to anybody that makes the joke, go look at their social media. They have more than 500 fans.
Yeah.
Go look at their Western Conference final run. They sold out every game. They have fans. Also, when you're losing, people don't want to come out to games. That explains why you may not see a lot of fans at games. People don't want to go out when there's a losing team. Who wants to go watch losing hockey? But there is a passionate fan base down here. I've talked to people. There's really passionate fans down here. They just don't want to see this team move. Mm-hmm. I got into hockey because of this team, and I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. This team is a part of me. It's a part of everybody in Arizona. It's a part of Matthew Tkachuk and all these guys, and you know, and Austin Matthews. They just get it figured out. That's all we ask from Rella. Just get it figured out. Stop. And I'm going to be blunt here. Stop bullshitting. Stop beating around the bush. Just get it done. Just get this land finalized. Get this arena in place. Show these fans you generally are commit to the area you're in. And then let's start winning some fucking hockey games. That's really all that matters at the end of the day for this team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Haynes, well, we appreciate you coming on, buddy. Glad you tuned in last week. Glad you said something and really happy to get you on. Obviously, best of luck at inside the rink. And, you know, the Hockey Writers is going to be, you know, a different place without you for sure, buddy. So we appreciate you coming on and giving us your 2 cents on the Leafs and giving us a little insight to the Coyotes.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here and get to talk to you guys. Hockey, regardless of who it is, I believe hockey should be everywhere and everybody should have a team. So I'm happy to get to talk to anybody with it and all that. So I really do appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. And if you aren't following him already, make sure you hit him up on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Haynes P. Evans. check out what he's got going for Inside the Rink. And
I might annoy you with some Coyote stuff every now and then.
Yeah, some Coyote stuff. Right. He's always got a lot of good insight. So we love to hear it. We love to read it. And we'll be sure to get you back on as soon as those Coyotes make the playoffs.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys. All right. You guys have a good one.
Have a good one, buddy. Man.
Well, boys, hell of an episode. Most populated episode.
We hit 200 views on Twitter.
Definitely a way to go. A lot of good insight from both Kyle and Haynes. And unless you guys have anything else you want to add, we'll close out there, get down and watch the second period of this Maple Leafs game.
No, nothing else to add for me. I want to go make a salad and some boiled hot dogs. So
there you go, Peter.
My plan. At this point, Tree, you gotta do something, man. You gotta do something. Simple as that.
All right, boys. Well, in the next couple of days, I'll be chasing Bedsy in the old series two, Young Guns. So I'll let you know if I hit. But other than that, as always, we appreciate everybody who tuned in to episode 152, brought to you by Indy Ale House, the Hockey Podcast Network, and DraftKings. For Alex, Peter, I'm Andrew. Go Leafs, go. We'll see you next week for episode 153.